Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
To get real and welcome everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I want to thank you so much for being here. Thank you for spending part of your day on Reality Spirituality, listening to Reality Spirituality. For my new listeners, you're probably thinking, well, what the hell, Reality Spirituality? What kind of show is that? What does that even mean? Well, Reality Spirituality, it's not a religion. It's a guide to living connected. And when I say connected, I mean connected to the most powerful energy source. Some people use the term source energy, higher power, God. I use the term universe. And Reality Spirituality is a show that teaches us how to live connected to the universe in every waking moment. Is it possible? Of course it is. Do I have it 100%? Of course I don't. However, I have discovered through a lot of trial and error what are some of the tools? What are some of the behaviors? What are some of the strategies to stay connected to the universe? And remember, when I say staying connected, I mean knowing, internally knowing that everything is in perfect order, that everything that is happening to me is happening for my betterment, that everything that happens to me is actually an unwrapped gift, regardless of what it is. So this show teaches and shares ideas, ways, different perspectives of how to live and how to be happy, how to have this internal contentment, this internal peace of happiness, regardless of what happens on the outside. Regardless if you lost your job, regardless if you don't have any money in the bank, regardless if you quote unquote are not in the best of health, regardless of any external circumstances, Reality Spirituality is about living connected and having a smile, a constant smile from within. One of my favorite quotes from Abraham is, "You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey." And that, in a nutshell, is what Reality Spirituality is about. Now, today we have a wonderful, wonderful guest. And this young man, Tom North, has experienced probably a lot more than, you know what, I'm not even going to say that because I'm not even going to make an assessment, but he has experienced a lot in his life, so much. Let me just read a little bit of his bio. He was born in a military family, and his family experienced tragedy when Tom was just 6 years old. His father was killed in the crash of an experimental jet aircraft, leaving Tom's mother with 7 children. And one on the way. Jeez! His mother, Helen North, moved from Washington State to California and married another military officer who in turn, yikes, who in turn turned out to be an ultra-violent child molester. Now, Tom's story, he's the author of True North, The Shocking Truth About Yours, Mine, and Ours. I don't know if you remember the movie. It was starring Lucille Ball and as the female lead, and then Henry Fonda starring as the father. And so it's a very famous movie, 1968, and it was called Yours, Mine, and Ours. And so, but Tom North is the real family. It's not what was on the screen. And with that, I want to welcome you, Tom North, to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for sharing your truth and your story with the world.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's great to be on your show.
Whew. Where do we begin? I would like to... Can you give me a summary? I know it's hard after everything that you've gone through, but a summary of what you were feeling. How did you even survive in a family like that? How did you even survive mentally? How did you do that?
Well, that's an interesting question. But when we look back at our childhood, and we think about what children go through on a regular basis, I mean, children do everything they can to survive. It's the will to live. It's the desire to grow. And so we do what we have to as children. We adapt. And children are very adaptable. So I adapted. That's how I survived, is I adapted. Now, it was rather crazy-making to go from a family that had a loving environment created by two parents who were very much in love, my father, Dick North, and my mom, Helen North. And that was evidenced by lots of displays of affection, hugging and kissing and playing with their children, and lots of laughter in the home. And then after my dad died, we moved into a home where none of that existed. And so we had to adapt. And we did.
So what did you do specifically to adapt? How did you do that? How did you do that?
It's what I did is I took refuge in nature. And I sought the healing power of nature to create some sanity for myself, because the home was rather crazy.
And so when you say nature, you're saying that you took walks and you know, you just got out of the house as much as possible?
Yes, and that was really the best thing to do, was to be out of the house as much as is possible. So near our home, there was a river. I went to the river. There was a beach. I went to the beach. I went wherever I could go into the forest, but I went out to natural environments where I really felt much more of a healing support.
That's so interesting. I mean, honestly, it's so interesting because one of the things that I talk about on this show is going back to that sense of well-being, and how do we get back to that sense of well-being? You know, when you're born, a year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, you don't have all of these issues. I'm talking about mentally, meaning you're not taught to judge, you're not taught to hate, you don't grow up judging or hating, you don't grow up being afraid. So basically what you're saying is you were drawn by nature and being in nature and healed in nature. That's such a powerful statement. It's such a powerful it's so powerful that you got that at such an early age, the healing properties of being in nature.
And keeping in mind that where I was born and spent the formative years of my life was a very rural area in Oak Harbor, Washington. So this is out on an island called Whidbey Island, and it really is a very green, very magical natural environment, and it's a perfect place for a rambunctious little boy to grow up.
Hmm.
So that was my pattern in my formative years, and so when I found myself in this non-supportive family environment with 20 children in the house, I thought, no, I'm not going to stay here. I'm just going to spend as much time as I can away in nature, in a more natural environment, keeping in mind that, and this is sort of an aside observation, but the human brain operates at about 7.4 cycles per second, which is exactly what natural environments vibrate at as well. So when we go out,
I did not know that. I did not know that. But one of the things I do know about nature is that what I talked about earlier on the show, everything is in order. There's no speeding up. There's no slowing down. There's no stopping. The evolvement, and there's nothing that isn't perfect. Everything, there's nothing that isn't a mistake in nature. So you were drawn to that environment. I love that. I love that. Now, what about, did you try to influence any of your other siblings to, you know, come out with you, or you were just in this, you felt alone? How did you relate to your siblings, or was there anyone there out of, what did you say, 20 children?
Yeah, so it was 20 children, because Frank Beardsley had 10 children. And so when my mother, who had 8 children, as you mentioned a moment ago, when she married him instantly, that was 18, and then they had 2 more. And, of course, Lucille Ball saw the story in the newspapers. It was a human interest item because of the merger of these two very large families. And so she made the movie, and events progressed from there. But getting back to your question, yes, I invited my younger brothers and sisters, and even my older brothers and sisters, to come out into to go to the beach, to go to the river. I used to take them fishing and for hikes and camping and so on. And it's very interesting because in chapter 26 of the book, which is all about the family therapy session, this actually came up. And it was a surprise to me because many of the adults who had been children younger than myself spoke up and said, you know, you took me to the beach, you took me to the river, which no one else did but you did, and I want to thank you for that. So it was very gratifying. I cried buckets of tears of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. I'm chilled. I'm having chills right now. I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that I talk about on this show, and I don't know if you agree or you don't agree, but everything that happens, and I'm not talking about other people, because I cannot talk about other people. I can only talk about myself. But everything that does happen, including the things that are quote-unquote horrific, happens for a reason. What value, or do you feel that there was a value in how you were put in that horrific environment? Do you feel that there is a value right now, looking back?
Well, I love that question, Rebecca, because I agree with you completely that everything we experience is a blessing, and everything we experience prepares us for everything else that we're going to experience subsequently. And so when I look back on a very difficult family and childhood environment in the Beardsley household, I think about all of the preparation that I received for dealing with difficult people later in life. There isn't a person in the world that is difficult for me to deal with. I can talk to just about anybody because I've dealt with just about the worst. And so that was all preparation. It also, I have an actual disdain for authority. And I try and keep it under control as much as I can, because I do have to work with managers and bosses and so on. But I don't accept what I'm told at face value, because I've learned from early childhood that just because someone's in a position of authority doesn't mean they have the answers or the right information. So I always question and I think for myself. And I learned that as a child.
Wow, what? I'm. Thank you so much for being so honest. Okay, now we're really opening up a can of worms here, because you found value. And so, okay, one of the things that you found value is when you said you can talk to anybody, any type of quote unquote difficult person. What type of people do you think are difficult? And I have a reason for asking that question. Go ahead.
It's a perfectly reasonable follow-on question. I'm a financial advisor as a profession, and so what I have found over the years is that as much as human beings would like to think that they are rational, we're not. As a species, we are irrational, and we are very much driven by our emotions. And so when it comes to things like love and money and possessions, we are at our most irrational. At least that's been my observation. And so I'm constantly dealing with people who are extremely emotional. And so I don't find that difficult at all. I simply deal with their state of being and try and get them to center and have a rational conversation. I'm not always successful, but I can still do it because I don't lose my center.
Okay. You don't lose your center and I understand what you're saying. One of the things, it's interesting, I just wrote an article last week. It's called the bitter pill of dissatisfaction, but basically I was talking about being aware. And the more you are self-aware, and what does that mean, being self-aware? I'm talking about self-awareness connecting with the universe, self-awareness. The more you are self-aware, all of these things that happen, people that come in your life, you know, people with the drama, people with the emotions, it's a very small, incident. It's a very small encounter because of how aware you are of the bigger picture. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying, because the more we are self-aware, the more we are aware of ourselves and ourselves in the context of our environment. And that might be just talking to one other person. It could be talking to a group of people, and it could be under any combination of emotional and conversational states. So as long as we are aware of our environment and the state of being of the person we're talking to or ourselves, our own emotional states, then we can retain our objectivity and our balance in that environment or in that conversation, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I use the analogy of if you go into a dark room and you turn on the light, the dark disappears. So the brighter, I say for me, the brighter I am, there is no amount of quote-unquote darkness that can affect me at all, whether it's people, whether it's circumstances, it doesn't matter. The brighter I am, and that's what I talk about on this show, is getting to that level, getting to another level, a higher level of whatever the circumstances are, I am not going to be affected. Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's not that serious. I have a caller that's been holding, and I believe she wants to either make a comment or ask a question, and I want to invite her to the show, area code 808. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. What is your first name again?
My name is Ku'u Leilani, but you can call me Leilani. Hi,
Leilani, Leilani, welcome to Reality Spirituality. Do you, would you like to add to the conversation, or do you have a question?
I would like to add something. I'd like to ask a question.
Please.
For the children that don't have the resources to have the ability to go to a river or stuck in a city and dealing with being in those traumatic situations and not having a voice and becoming desensitized and totally in another world, how do you bring those children back to that point where they have some of their innocence back if you can't really change the situation?
So that's a really important question, Leilani, and I thank you for asking that. I think that we have two environments that we operate in on a daily basis. And one is our external environment, and that's what you were referring to in terms of the being in an urban environment or in a more rural environment. But there's also our internal environment, which is our state of being, our state of emotions and the state of our mind and our heart. And that's our internal environment. And if we can't change the external environment by going to a more natural setting, then perhaps we can change our internal environment. Now, I did that for, and still do, because I practice meditation. And children do extremely well with meditation. And so, in fact, there has been a program run by the Transcendental Meditation Organization where they have been doing this for about 10 years. They go around to inner city schools, and they actually pick the worst performing inner city school. And they've done this in Washington, D.C., in Philadelphia, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, all over the country. And by teaching the children to practice Transcendental Meditation, they have actually taken every single one of these schools from the very lowest academic standings in their area to the highest academic standings. And I've seen the videos of the children who have been interviewed. And one young man was saying, I used to come to school and beat up other children because I was so angry. And he said, now I come to school and I help the other children because I'm full of love.
That's the key.
The shift in his internal environment. That help?
Yes. I think that's why I'm his mother. But that's really good. I didn't think about teaching him how to meditate. I mean, in one way, we kind of do that when we pray, and we connect on that level. But then sometimes it's like I've gone through everything with, the authorities and all this stuff to try to get answers. But with children, it's kind of hard because I talk to my son. I'm like, well, if all this is going on, then, why are you not forthcoming? And it's like he's like, when your mother was the way she was when she was bad, didn't you still love her? And it's like this whole thing of like love gets so twisted, and parents that take advantage of that, and kids that don't have that awareness yet because they just haven't expanded their mind enough, they haven't received enough knowledge. It's hard, not to observe that in your own life and have your own personal health problems or looking like you're, not well because of the worry and the stress, but focusing on bringing your own vibration to that loving state, it does heal them in one way or another. And I think that's what you're affirming for me and what I was trying to do with my children, because, I mean, I'm in a blended family now, but the father of my first two kids, he is just not, there's something very wrong with him, and he is not okay.
Right, right.
And my kids show it, but they have so much love that they don't show it enough. Like, they're not bad kids. They're not, you know, like, troubled children, but they're like, when you're in the presence, you're like, something's not right.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like something's wrong. You can't put it together. Like, you want to blame other things, but when reality is, there's something going on that's way heavier and way more intense than anybody could really imagine.
So there is an organization which addresses this issue of children, the David Lynch Foundation, and they actually provide scholarships for children to learn to practice meditation. So you might look that up, the David Lynch Foundation.
Thank you so much, Leilani, for the call. Yes, please follow up on that, David Lynch Foundation. Thank you so much for the call. Woo! Yes. So
call.
Interesting. What did you say, Tom?
What you're saying, that was a great call.
Yeah, it was a great call. Great call. I love... one of my passions is protecting children. That's like my number one. I mean, I've said things to mothers, you know, in the street that I don't know. Well, actually, this is what I used to do. Say things to children. I say things to mothers if I thought that they were being mean and shaming and all of that in public to a child. I mean, I would open my mouth and really let them have it. I have to say that I do not, unless a child is in danger, I do not do that anymore. And I do not do, I mean, I don't open my mouth anymore because the universe has guided me and told me that everything is in order. Everything is happening the way it should happen. Everything is evolving and unfolding. And unless I know someone, if someone is in danger, that's a totally different issue. But the verbal, I it was very difficult for me, but I don't respond anymore to it. What do you think about?
Well, we're learning every day, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, and that was a real hard one for me, Tom, because that was a really hard one. I was, as a child, I was not quote-unquote protected. I got spankings, and when I say spankings, I mean lay down on the bed with a belt, with a leather belt, to the point where, you know, you would get welts on your legs, and I've never revealed this, but here we go. My last spanking was at 17 years old.
Oh, that's really wrong.
But the interesting thing, looking back on it, my father he was doing the best he could. He did not know any other way. That was what was done to him. And my mother, talking about a doormat and let my father do whatever. And if for me, looking back on it and saying, okay, my spirit was broken, it was definitely broken. However, I wouldn't change one thing. What did happen is when I had my son, he was never hit, ever. Of course, I did a lot of yelling, which wasn't good either, but I did the best I could. I didn't know any other way. So please comment on all of that.
So as I write in True North, the shocking truth about yours, mine, and ours, there are unfortunately more people who have had your experience than not, for all the reasons that you just cited. Parents do the very best that they can with the information that they have. Sometimes it's just not good enough, and there is damage that they do to their children along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But also, as you stated earlier, the universe is in perfect order. So how do we reconcile that? Well, life is lived in paradox. It may seem to be inappropriate at the time that we are punished inappropriately as by our parents, and yet at a later date in our lives, that proves to be a blessing in some way. So there's the paradox.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So one of the things I point out in True North is that in spite of the difficulty that we might have by living with those people who were supposed to be our guides in early childhood, there is something that we can do about it. And, you know, we have to make a choice to be the people that we were meant to be and to get out of our own way, in a sense. And that just means pursuing some path of personal growth, whatever that might be, for each individual. But I, for example, have formed a partnership with CASA, which is Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children. And last week, actually 10 days ago, I gave the keynote address to a fundraiser for the local CASA here in Monterey County to 250 people in the audience, and talked about this very fact that in spite of the difficulties that we have as children, we can grow up to be happy adults. And and I provide a resource guide in the back of the book so that if people are interested in finding out more how to help themselves, there's an extensive resource guide there that can give them some direction. And that's really what we do about it. We make a decision to help ourselves. And I had to do that. You had to do that. We all have to do that.
Right, right. One of the things that I have learned, I mean, it's very hard to put everything, you know, talk about everything in a brief time. How I used to be, what I used to say. Oh my goodness, if I knew that someone was spanking their child, believe me, they heard it from me over and over and over. What are you doing, spanking? You know why you spank your children? You only spank your children because you can get away with it. What about, you know, oh, gee, what
yeah.
about if you did something wrong? What about, you know, you make mistakes, don't you? What if someone started hitting you? You're an adult. What if someone hit you? How would you like that? Oh, please, you don't even want to know how many years I went on. And believe me, I was... Woof, very, very passionate about it and just relentless. And then I would always get a lot of feedback from, okay, but it says in the Bible, spare the rod and spoil the child. I mean, the whole crap. But again, my evolution is, like I said, if I see something, believe me, I'm going to step in. This universe,
you're
talking about people being illogical.
A child is being endangered.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That's not going to happen on my watch.
I
at
hear
all.
That. Yeah.
Or honestly, a child or even a person, it's just not going to happen on my watch. Period. This is the question I wanted to ask you. You said something earlier, which was really interesting to me. You said that you have a disdain for authority.
Yes.
Yeah, and I picked up on that because you're talking about presently.
Well, yes. For example, when I'm given guidance by people in authority in my professional life or wherever I might be. I tend to say, well, thank you very much for that guidance. I appreciate the information. Now I'm going to process that information through my own store of information and compare it. And then if I think that's the appropriate course of action, I will follow your instructions. But if I think there's a better way to do what you're suggesting I do, then I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. I was diving 5 days ago. I was on a big charter dive boat, and the captain came on the intercom, and he said, "Everyone, go directly behind the boat because that's the best place to go diving." And I looked over to the port side of the boat, and I saw a reef over there. And I said, "Well, that looks better to me over there." And so everyone jumped off the boat and did exactly what the captain said. Mm-hmm. I went over to the reef, and qualitatively, comparing later, I had the much better dive. A simple example, but that's
mm-hmm. kind of... No, I love that example. I love the real life. That's what the show's about. Reality is portrayed, real life. But the interest, but you used the word disdain, and that's what just like piqued my
right.
little. And because this is something that I had to. I'm just speaking for myself that I had to learn to flow with. I use
yes.
the word flow a lot, and I use the word two words: no resisting. No resisting anything, no resisting authority, and disdain just sounds to me like a word that you're not really flowing. You can still make your you can still do what you're saying, and you still behave in your way. But to does it like stop you, or does it like or is it a just flow? What is it?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good point that you raise there, Rebecca, because I think that's some of my arrogance showing through here.
I love you. I love you.
Using the word disdain, you know, it's kind of an arrogant perspective, and I would be the first to cop to the fact that that's one of the things I'm still working on. But I think your observation about the flow is a really important one, because that's a much more mature perspective, to be able to flow and sort of dance with people as we blend ideas and instructions and so on. That's a very mature perspective, and I share that as well. But I use that word disdain because, you know, I get a little cocky sometimes.
Ah! You know what? I love you. I love it. I love it. I love it. Honesty right on, live on air. Come on. Everyone has a little bit of an ego from time to time, and who cares? But the other thing I wanted to say, thank you for that, and the other thing, because that's, listen, I was a my way or the highway kind of gal forever. And I'm just, you know, just I really had to do a total. I don't even want to use the word mature, because mature is a man-made kind of okay. Mature. I like to just an evolvement into another level of awareness. And when you become more aware, all of this other stuff, this human stuff. It just kind of falls to the wayside. You know, you become more universal as opposed to more human. And that's just falls to the wayside. But what I wanted to ask you too, and thank you so much for just copping to it, because this is what I've had to deal with. Any person that I looked at and I found something quote unquote wrong with them, you know, oh, they're this, or they're moody, or they're drama, or whatever label I wanted to put on it, and I don't like copying to this, Tom North, guess what? That was what I saw was what was in me.
There you go. There you go. The world is just a big, giant mirror, isn't it?
Don't you hate that?
Yes.
That's a hard one. That's a hard pill to swallow. There's no way I'm like my mother. No way!
Right. You know, there's something I like to acknowledge in our experience of the world, and that is something I call the cosmic joke.
Yes.
And that's what you're illustrating right now is that cosmic joke aspect that everyone and everything we experience is a mirror to us and simply reflects back to us what we bring to it or to them.
And even deeper than that. At least I think it's deeper. If I said to you, Tom, you are a purple Martian. I don't think you'd be affected at all because you're not a purple Martian. You're not, you know, you wouldn't even have any kind of feeling about it.
Right.
And so my point is that there is nothing, what I found is if I'm offended by anything, if I'm offended by it, then I must believe that is in me. If I'm bothered or offended or annoyed, then I have to look in the mirror and say, "Oh, you still got a little bit of that left, don't you?"
That's right. You know, it's Wayne Dyer, the famous author and motivational speaker, is fond of using a metaphor. He says, "What do you get when you squeeze an orange?" And of course, the answer is, well, when you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we get orange juice when we squeeze an orange? Well, we get orange juice because that's what's inside an orange. And it's the same with people. You know, whatever comes out of them is what's inside. And if we have
mm-hmm.
that...
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get that. I get that now.
And so
I like that.
Yeah, I love it, because if we are offended by something that someone else has said, then that offendedness is something that came from within us. And it's so we have to look at that, and we have to say, why am I offended? Maybe I'm offended because there is some aspect of what was described about us that is real. It's not that we're a purple Martian because I don't have any purple Martian inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at that and I say, no, I don't identify with purple Martian. But if someone says to me, Tom, you're an angry person, and I get offended, that's because they tickled my anger.
Mm.
And so you're absolutely right about that.
Ooh, I love that you admitted that. You know, that's so interesting. One of the things that I ask the universe for, and I ask them for shit all the time. Yes, I said shit because it's my show. I ask them for shit all the time. And one of the things I ask them for is to get rid of being irritated.
Yeah.
My mother was irritated. My father would be irritated if the wind blew. And I just lived so long with this getting irritated at everything, drivers, you name it, people. I was irritated, time, just and I got to a point. I share with my listeners, when I was younger, I always asked for two things. Talking about, you know, being a child, I asked for two things. You know, when you blow your candles on the birthday cake, I asked to live to my potential, number one. And number two, not in any order, to be happy. Live to my potential and be happy. And that's all I've wanted. I cares about the Prince Charming, cares about the house. I never asked for any of that. So this thing about being happy, can you imagine living without any irritation? Can you imagine living with never being offended, never getting angry? That's what I've asked for, and that's what eventually I'm getting day by day, more and more of it.
And that's so you're creating your own reality in doing so, and that speaks to the title of your show, Reality Spirituality.
So we got something from you about a little bit of anger. What else is challenging for you if you want to share? And you have to, because I said so.
Gosh. You know, really, the issues that I'm dealing with in my life right now are all about ego and listening to inner guidance and knowing the difference between the two.
I love that. I love that topic. The topic of the ego for me is one of the things I had to learn, number one, not to resist it. Ego, you're horrible. You're always making me feel bad. You're making me feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm not achieving enough. I'm just sitting around doing nothing. Not productive. That was my thing. Oh, you got to be productive every moment of the day. Production. If I sat on my butt Friday, Saturday, and Sunday doing nothing, watching TV or reading, I would feel bad about myself. And that was all from the ego. And then, do you know Panache Desai? Have you heard of him?
No, I'm unfamiliar with that.
Okay, well, he's a new up-and-coming. And one of the things that he said about the ego, which was really interesting, he says, you don't resist the ego. You just know its job. The ego does have a job. It has a great job. The ego is in charge of when you walk out of the house, you're not putting on stripes with plaids. You have your hair washed. You brush your teeth. The ego has a job, but it's limited. And knowing its job and not giving it, like you wouldn't give a child, you wouldn't put a child in the back, in the seat of a pilot, in the seat of a airplane and say, drive this airplane. Because it would be inexperienced. So it's just putting the ego in its place and giving it its proper job and letting it know, hey, you don't have control over this ego because you're not equipped. You're not equipped to make me feel good. You're not equipped to praise. You're equipped to try to make me feel bad or with all the chatter. That's just not your job. So that's how I've dealt with it and still dealing with it.
Yeah, the ego is a wonderful aspect of our being. There's an author here in Pacific Grove, California. His name is Mark Gaffney.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written a fabulous book called Your Unique Self.
Mm.
And one of the things he cites in his book, Your Unique Self, is that as we evolve and grow as spiritual beings, we don't abandon our ego.
Mm-hmm.
We integrate our ego into our own personal growth. And that aspect of our contribution to the universe is guided through our ego. We are never without our ego. Our ego is that unique aspect of ourself that highlights universal mind and gives it form within the context of our individuality. And it's a beautiful, beautiful observation. It's a little bit different than many of the Eastern observations that the ego is to be diminished.
Mm-hmm.
He says that's not necessary at all. It's not necessary to diminish the ego. It's simply, as you were saying a moment ago, understand its role and make friends with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a wonderful contribution Mark Gaffney has made. I don't struggle with my ego. I watch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining, isn't it?
Endlessly.
Yes.
Entertaining.
Yes.
Endlessly entertaining. Yeah.
I sometimes say, is that the best you can do? Wow, that's really, woof. Very creative, that ego. Very creative.
You know, it's interesting. I have come to believe that the ego has two functions in our experience. The first function is to promote itself to itself 24
mm-hmm.
hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the second function of the ego is to defend itself against all threats, either real or imagined, and 98% of them are imagined.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, it's a bottom. It's a bottom. Oh my goodness! And the more you feed it, ooh wee. Sometimes I like to starve it. It doesn't like that, but I do starve it. I do put it on a diet from time to time.
Well, there you go.
It goes crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it has been such a pleasure. I would like you to, anything else you would like to talk about in the last few minutes that we have on the show? I know your book. Would you like to tell the listeners about your website and your books? And you mentioned a few resources.
Resources,
please.
Right. So the book, True North, The Shocking Truth About Yours, Mine, and Ours, is available wherever books are sold. It's available on Amazon. It's available on my website, which is truenorthbytomnorth.com. And if you purchase the book on the website, then 10% of the proceeds of sale of the book will go to CASA, the Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children, which we have a partnership with and support with all of our heart and soul. Also, the interesting thing is that the feedback we've gotten from readers so far has been very, very positive. And we find that most people bring something of their own experience to the reading. And I hear back from readers, well, what I got from it was, and then
mm-hmm.
there's something that they share about their own life experience that is important to them. So True North is really a story for everyone. It's not just about Tom North. It's about you and me and all of us and our growth.
You know, I love that, because I love what you said about everyone gets something out of it. One of the things I talk about on this show is there are 7.2 billion people on this planet, and that's 7.2 billion perspectives. And perspective, I like to say, can be changed in an instant. And a perspective, when I say can be changed, that however you look, okay, me, however I look at a situation, if I'm not feeling like I'm loving the situation and I'm just open arms with it, if I'm feeling that there's a problem or a challenge or a pee under the mattress, then all I have to do is change my perspective. I can look at the same situation, and just like you said with your life story, just like you said that you looked at it and you can look at it now and you can find value and you can find good in what you experienced, and that is because of your perspective. Because a perspective is very, very important, and you have a choice. You definitely have a choice to make, to create a perspective or to change a perspective and to alter it to fit, to find value in whatever the situation is.
And that's a beautiful thing to share with your listeners, because if they take nothing away from this conversation, that's a very, very important bit of information to have. Is that, well, okay, I can look at this way, or I can look at it that way. And
mm-hmm.
just shift my energy field a little bit, and I get a whole different set of colors from this experience, whatever it might be.
Exactly, exactly. We don't have any, the only choices that we have, you know, whatever happens to us, we really don't have control over that. We definitely have control over the choices that we make and the choice of perspective. So thank you for agreeing with me. I loved having you on the show, Tom North. I can feel you are a calm a calm energy, very calm energy, and you know, a little bit of humor there. You laughed, you chuckled a couple of times, which I love to. Thank you for being on Reality Spirituality. I look forward to purchasing your book, and I look forward to even learning more about you.
Rebecca, it's been a joy being on your show, and I thank you for the invitation to share.
Okay. Welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a wonderful day. Everyone, that is Reality Spirituality for today. You know, Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And what a great show. This show is about learning and uplifting and just motivating all of us to choose behaviors that fit, that serve us, choose behaviors that align with our intentions. If you want some more information on my coaching programs that I offer, you can go to Rebecca Norrington, that's RebeccaNorrington.com, and go to Reality Spirituality on Facebook and like us. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, let me know. I really appreciate all of your emails. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your comments. You can read my blog on my website. There is a latest newsletter, which is I think my favorite newsletter. Of course, all of them are my favorites, but this one is about the bitter pill of dissatisfaction and how dissatisfaction, the energy of being dissatisfied, actually took over and was all entwined in my soul, just being dissatisfied about everything. And how did I learn to elevate to a new place? Remember, you, my dear audience, you are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, you're always changing, and you're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again tomorrow, 7 a.m. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality, spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.